When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Filling in for Steve Grzanich, I'm Steve Bertrand. This morning's guest is Ed Curry, a certified mortgage planner and construction loan specialist for Associated Bank. Good morning, Ed. Welcome back.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me, and great to chat with you again.
Absolutely. You know, before we get into the discussion, why don't you just remind everybody what it is you do for Associated Bank?
I'm a residential loan officer, so I assist clients purchasing, refinancing, and building generally a single family or a 2-, 3-, 4 unit property that they plan to live in, and perhaps even build.
That means you're the perfect guy to talk to about mortgage rates, right? And they just continue to go up in recent weeks.
They do. Yeah, I've been doing this long enough. You tend to see the same cycles over and over, and similarly, the articles about rates and the impact they have. And certainly this time is no different. We see a lot of conversation regarding higher interest rates having potential negative impact for homeowners purchasing homes and possibly housing as a whole. I tend to take the other side of that argument for the most part. Higher rates certainly, from an individual perspective, do have real impact on individuals purchasing a home. On average, every 0.5% that the interest rates go up, Steve, people will qualify for about 5% less of a mortgage. So not a huge difference, but if you're just squeaking into a certain price point of a home and rates are moving higher, it may be the difference whether you qualify or don't qualify for that home. Generally speaking, though, over time, I've seen the thing that really broadly impacts housing and overall people's desire and ability to qualify for loans tends to really be more other things like employment. Do they have a job? Do they feel secure in that job? You know, the most recent jobs report showed blockbuster job creation. So those are some of the people who were not employed coming back and working. That's going to create confidence for those people to now maybe purchase a home or enter the home buying process.
You mentioned earlier about, you know, the higher interest rates and it reduces the amount of loan you might be qualified for or qualify for. And it just kind of got me to thinking, I mean, how often, what is typical when someone's buying a home? Do they tend to spend as much as they possibly can? I mean, are they usually at that ceiling of what they could qualify for?
It really is where they are in their lives. You tend to certainly see the younger you are, the more likely they're going to be at the top end of their spending capability, first-time home buyers, just because ultimately there's a baseline price and cost. The home may be at the lower end, but you still have taxes and insurance. And, you know, the difference in the taxes or insurance of a $200,000 home and an $800,000 home is not generally 4x. So it tends to be the young you are, the first, second time home buyer you are, you'll tend to be pushing it a little bit more. And then as you know, you progress and you maybe you're, you know, in your 40s or 50s or 60s purchasing a home, you know, maybe you're downsizing and there's generally not that that issue.
And even though the interest rates are going up, the housing stock for sale, right, is down dramatically, down almost 50% from last year at this time. I would imagine that's good news for the sellers at any rate.
It is, yes, certainly a seller's market and in most areas of the Chicago market and really the U.S. You know, there's certainly some areas, some pockets, some types of homes that maybe there was an oversupply of, or for various reasons there may be not a lot of demand for, but those issues are few and far between. In most cases, people are purchasing homes with multiple offers and having to compete for that.
Do you deal with reverse mortgages too?
I don't personally, okay. But we've got some good sources for that. But it is a very niche, very, very niche product.
Do you know enough that you can explain it for me? Because, you know, I see the commercials and everything, but it seems like it could be a really good deal if you're the right fit.
It is. And yeah, I do know quite a bit because I do chat with clients about it. And while I'm not a direct source, it's always important to try to help and assist clients as much as you can and provide some good guidance.
Sure.
The reverse mortgage is really a pretty simple product. You have to be a certain age to qualify, 62. And if you're 62 and you own your home and it's your primary residence, that's pretty much it. You do need to have a little bit of income to qualify for taxes and insurance, but for the most part, if you want a reverse mortgage and you're 62 years old, it's highly likely you would get approved. And they can be really good products.
Do you have to own it outright, or can you still owe a little bit on your mortgage?
Generally speaking, the requirements not require you to own it outright,
okay.
But without owning it outright or have a very, very small balance, there won't be much of a benefit for you. There won't be much equity and much of the residual payments that you'll be able to tap into if it isn't nearly paid off.
Good news is it can really help you with your retirement. The bad news is your kids are going to stop showing up for the holidays, right?
Correct. That does, I guess, eat into some of their inheritance, but it certainly does solve one huge issue for retired people. In many cases, most of their equity can be in their home, and they don't qualify in most cases for a traditional mortgage. You know, circle back all the way to 2008, you could get a loan, not have any income, if you had a house with a ton of equity. But that is not how mortgages work anymore. You need income to support whatever loan you take. So somebody who wants to maybe pull out, say, $200,000 on their home to live off over the next 10 years, if they don't have the income to support that, they can't get that loan. Well,
right.
A reverse mortgage, you don't need to support that $200,000 loan amount. You're tapping into the equity and you can get paid out lump sum or even on a monthly basis.
And if you're on a monthly basis, there's a chance that you could actually take in more money than the home was worth?
It is, yeah. I mean, you get to keep that loan, keep that home as long as you're alive. And, of course, there's a certain amount of money that you'll get based on your age. So, you know, that is calculated into how much of a loan that you'll be able to get. So, yeah, so you can certainly stay there and continue to get those proceeds from that loan as long as you live. The only downside, really, Steve, to the reverse mortgage is they can be expensive. So there's not a lot of providers of them. So you want to make sure that you're working with a really, really reputable reverse mortgage lender. A lot of people do well by getting referrals from their financial advisors who have those relationships with a reputable reverse mortgage lender.
Okay, so that's the end of your home ownership in a way. Let's go to the beginning. A lot of people carrying huge student loan debt, and I would imagine that is a real factor when it comes to buying a home.
That's a huge factor, and I've seen some doozies over the years.
Yeah.
I recently had a client that had $500,000 in student debt, and the student loans were larger than the mortgage payment.
Wow.
That they were applying for. So it can be significantly impactful, and quite frankly, one of the reasons why homeownership is being delayed. A first-time home buyer is about 33 or 34 years old now.
So if you're carrying student debt, then is it a done deal that you're not going to be in the housing market? Or are there ways to manage it to where you can still buy a house?
There are ways, and certainly one way would be to purchase a smaller home, take a smaller mortgage. So it certainly will impact how much of a loan you'll get. So you need to certainly concentrate and have your expectations, in a way where you're going to be able to afford the student loans with the mortgage debt. But for the most part, all those payments need to be calculated into your debt-to-income ratio, which is what mortgage lenders use to qualify you. Some of the ways that people try to reduce the debt or payments on the student loans is to refinance them. In some cases, people will have loans in deferment, and they think that that is an opportunity for them to not have to qualify with any payment. Unfortunately, you have to qualify with a payment of 1% of that student loan amount. So if you have a $100,000 student loan, you have to qualify with a $1,000 monthly payment. Well, in most cases, if you get on some sort of payment plan and not take it out of deferment, the monthly payments will be less than that 1%. Or there's also ways that student loans can be tied to your income. And if you're not making a lot of money relatively, you can really see that monthly payment come down.
The stories are always changing, Ed. Great discussion as always. Thanks. How do people get a hold of you for a one-on-one if they have individual questions?
Just send me an email, ed.currie@associatedbank.com. That's ed.currie@associatedbank.com.
Ed Currie, certified mortgage planner with Associated Bank. Thanks again for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great day.
All right, you too.